Hey, Jill, did you know that you could earn cash while listening to your favorite podcasts, including Red Wine and Mystery Stories?
No, Patrick. Tell me more. Tell me more. Like, does he have a car?
There's this hot new app called Podcoin.
Podcoin? What?
Yes. Just go to your favorite app store, like the App Store or Google Play, and just search for Podcoin. It literally pays you to listen to podcasts. And yep, you earn Podcoins. You can redeem them for hot items like Amazon gift cards, Starbucks gift cards, or you can even donate to charity.
Oh, wow. You're so smart, Patrick.
Away, worries for another day. Let the music play. Down in Fraggle Rock. Down in Fraggle Rock. Yes, everybody. Yes, welcome back to another hot episode of Red, White, and Mystery Stories, the coolest podcast on the entire internet, methinks.
I agree.
My name is Patrick M. Dunn. Perhaps you know me from the previous episodes. And who am I here with this evening? Afternoon?
Whatever it is. Jill Buck, as always.
Yes.
This time, in the flesh.
In the flesh. In the flesh. She's pret-a-porta, ready to wear that hot Julia Roberts movie from 1994. Little known film.
Okay.
that was film corner right there. Yes, welcome back. This is the podcast in which we combine two of your favorite things. Mystery.
And booze. Drunken, disorderly discussions.
Well, mostly that.
Yeah.
I say booze, but it's more like drunken, disorderly discussions. Like, yeah. If the police were here, we'd be, like, in custody right now.
Yeah, except that we're not doing anything illegal.
And we have a special guest here today, Taruman, our guard dog, who protects us from the elements.
And snorts a lot.
Yeah, so if you hate dogs, maybe just skip this episode.
But you hate dogs, you can go fuck off and die.
That is true. But if you love dogs, you're a big ASMR person, you get to hear him, like, snort and growl and climb and make noises and maybe snore. Maybe if you're lucky, maybe he'll snore. Who knows?
Maybe. Right now he's all wet because he had, what, like a battle with the hose?
Yeah, we're outside playing with the hose.
Playing with the garden hose. He's all happy with himself. He's like cooled down and now he's like raring to play.
Yeah. Hopefully he just falls asleep. But before we get into format, we have a big no bone zone, apparently. We forgot to mention that last week's episode.
It's kind of a little no bone zone, but it's gotten bigger because we've forgotten it in a couple of episodes now, I feel like.
Yeah.
So in our It's Britney Bitch episode, which was regarding Brittany Murphy's death.
Yeah. R.I.P. girl.
We mistakenly identified the show that Luann Platter, voiced by Brittany Murphy, on King of the Hill has, which is Manger Babies. We mistakenly identified it as Manger Buddies.
Oh, yeah. And I originally thought it was Jesus Pals.
Yes. So we got closer, but we didn't get there.
We got the right letters.
Right.
Like the first letters.
And we did get half of it right. I mean, Manger Buddies, very close to Manger Babies. So anyway, our
bad. You think it's like Muppet Babies, but like Jesus-ified?
Yeah, kind of. Like, yeah.
But creepy.
Oh my god, creepy Miss Piggy voice over here.
We have a new character.
Hello, my name is Miss Piggy. I'm going to be here at Red, Red, and Mystery Stories. We're going to talk.
This is so inappropriate. It's so fucking inappropriate.
Why is this inappropriate? Here at the podcast.
Yes.
Not allowed.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, I forgot that Miss Piggy is a fighter.
She really is. She's like badass bitch.
She loves fucking things that are green and wrinkly.
Oh.
Which can either
so unfortunate.
And it's gotta be Kermit's finger, because I don't know. I've looked. I did not see a penis. Unless it's hiding.
Yeah, I mean, he is an animal. Most animals they like suck up into their body.
Oh. It's like like an old timey like cell phone antenna.
Yes. Ew.
shout out.
Why are we talking about this? This is so not right.
Well, we want to talk about this because I'm Miss Piggy and I love things that are green and wrinkly, Jill.
I feel like the voice just changed right there.
Yeah, you became more Kermit the Frog than Miss Piggy in that iteration there.
Piggy. I love you.
Ew.
Kirby, oh, Kirby.
All right, enough. All right. We're done. All right, we're done there. Right. We're done.
Jim Henson, don't sue us.
I mean, he's dead, so.
Jim Henson Productions, I guess? Is there a Brian Henson? I feel like
there is, like, his son. I don't know what his name is, though. He is a Henson.
I feel like it'd be Brian Henson. I don't know. Let's look it up real quick.
Oh, God. Patrick's looking shit up now.
Yeah, Brian Henson, an American puppeteer, born November 3rd, 1963. The son of puppeteers Jim and Jane Henson. Ooh, there's a Jane Henson.
Wow, they're all fucking puppeteers, man.
All right. Want to play a game?
Oh, no.
Is Jane Henson dead or alive? Let's play that game. All right, so she was born in 1934. That gives you a frame of reference.
Dead.
Okay, you're right. All right, what year do you think she died? I'll give you three guesses, and I'll say, like, hot or cold, or higher or lower.
84.
Way higher.
2002.
Higher.
2017.
All right, she died on April 2nd, 2013.
All right. Well.
She died of a lonely heart. Oh, hold on. No, actually.
She didn't.
Her daughter Cheryl revealed that her mother had cancer and was paralyzed. She asked fans to keep Jane in their prayers, and then she
Jim Henson died a long time before then.
Oh, yeah. Jim Henson died, like, 1990-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like... All right, so... Jim Henson's death is fucking, like, wild. Because he... All right, he died May 16th, 1990. All right, so his death... He didn't believe...
Oh my God, there they go. The swan and the two Canada geese, previously mentioned in the last episode, just came running out from the side yard. Where are their babies? I don't see their babies. Did they eat their babies?
No, the babies are chilling. They're chilling.
I don't see their babies with them, though.
You're like the only one obsessed with these fucking...
Dude, it's a weird little trio. It's a triplet? A
threesome?
What do they call it when it's a couple, but it's a three-person...
A throuple.
A throuple. Thank you. It's a weird bird throuple.
Like interspecies?
It's interspecies bird throuple. I'm fascinated with this. It's weird.
All right, so if you didn't listen to last week's episode, if you're new to the show, we're at Mystery Cove right now. It's our little home away from home, so to say.
Yeah.
We come out here like once every May-ish, we settle in.
A couple times a year.
We air it out. Mm-hmm. We have a little pond nearby, a nice and beautiful little pond, and
apparently we have some very strange animals that reside at said pond.
Very, very horny animals, man. Uh-huh. And they'll just fuck anything. Like they'll go beyond their species.
Yeah, we have two Canada geese and a swan that are like constantly together. They're like bonded.
Their genus? Their phylum, maybe?
And they're just like fucking, they have babies now, and I don't know how this worked.
Well, can we talk about how Jim Henson died real quick?
Yeah,
can we just get this out of the way?
Let's get back into that.
Because I've been, like, itching to talk about this.
Yeah, right, you itch away.
All right, so Jim Henson, like, died just of, like, bacterial pneumonia. And, like, he, like, refused to go to the doctors. Like, he was like, nope. He had some weird religion background and...
Was he a Jehovah's Witness?
I don't think he was a Jehovah's Witness. I think he was something...
He was something where it, like, interfered with, like... It prevented him from getting medical attention.
Yes, because, like, Jehovah's Witnesses will go to the doctors. They just, like, are weird about blood. They won't,
They're
like,
also weird about other things.
Everything.
Yeah.
Holidays.
It's not just blood transfusions. It's, like, there's, like, certain medications that they'll refuse that are pretty basic.
Yeah, like...
Because they celebrate children who die that could have been easily prevented by, like, basic medical care. They celebrate them as, like, having passed... Because it was the chosen time or some shit, which is kind of bullshit, but whatever.
He was a Christian Scientist.
I feel like they're similar.
All right. I guess he was raised Christian. Because in the early years, a lot of his older shows were Christian, had Christian themes. But I think in his later years, he became a Christian Scientist. And
okay.
I don't know, you know.
Got a little weird.
Although it does say that he left the church in 1975, so I don't know. Maybe he kept some of their ideologies.
Maybe it was something within the specific, like, congregation that he was attending, and he was just like, peace out, you guys suck, but I'm staying with, like, the ideas of the church.
Yeah, well, I guess he grew up, like, not being a doctor, maybe. Mm. And then, I mean, not going to the doctor.
Right. No,
sorry.
I know what you meant.
I'm sorry. We've been drinking.
Shocking.
Shockingly. Yeah, so he died from, like... bacterial pneumonia. Like
something very basic that could have easily been cured.
If he just went to the doctors, like, I don't know, a few weeks earlier, maybe.
Fucking antibiotics. Yeah. He would have been all set.
He would have just, right now, him and Jane maybe be together for many more years.
Yeah.
Maybe we would have gotten some cool new Muppet things.
Dude, we could have gotten, like, some serious revamps of certain things, like, you know, Fraggle Rock.
Yeah. So after Jim Henson died, we entered, like, the dark period of the Muppets. Like, we got like, a few things that he still had, like, his last, like, finishing touches on, like, the Muppet Christmas Carol. Like, you know, he had a hand in that, I think. But, I don't know, things got weird. Things got dark. We got, like, Muppet Treasure Island, the weird, like, Gonzo from space or something.
Yeah, Muppet Treasure Island was weird. It also had Tim Curry in it.
Ooh. Well, girl needs to eat, so.
he played a pirate. I think he played, like, Long John Silver or something in Muppet Treasure Island.
I don't know. Fuck it.
I just remember him being given the black spot on the page of the Bible and him, like, freaking out on the Muppet that gave it to him. I can't remember which Muppet gave it to him, but he was like, here you go. This is for you.
Hold on. Piggy's coming back.
Kirby, I'm going to leave you for Tim Curry.
Well.
I guess it happens. You know what?
Yep.
You know what? He doesn't have a green and wrinkly finger. He's got
he's got a sizable bulge in the negligee that he's in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, really?
He's in, like, some fucking real-ass shit, and it's like, how did everything stay contained, man?
All right, let's do a Tim Curry bulge corner right now. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania.
Right. Any nudes? Any Tim Curry nudes? Hold
I on. Don't know. I've never once Googled that.
I mean, shirtless. I wouldn't call
that's it. Not the same.
Oh, hold on. Now that's just like a fake. All right.
Yeah, we don't need to go down this rabbit hole, like, at all.
Miss Piggy has officially left Kermit the Frog for Tim Curry, the actor.
He's got a sizable bulge.
He's got a sizable bulge, and you know what? Sometimes Piggy just wants a sizable bulge.
Piggy just needs some sausage. Yeah.
Tim Curry the pig fucker.
Oh, God.
Please
don't let that circulate, because I actually really enjoy him as an actor.
Hey, Miss Piggy's great, too. She's wonderful.
Okay, yeah, but...
She's a wonderful...
Like,
she's
a fictitious pig, like...
What? She was just here. She stormed out in a hussy because we were, I don't know, bad-mouthing her a minute ago, but she...
Oh, God.
She was on Family Feud. They would have put a fictional character on Family Feud.
All I have to say is Batman versus Gilligan's Island.
those are the actors. Those are the actors. All right. What are we doing today? What the fuck are we doing today? Let's get to it. People are going to complain.
Speaking of weird rabbit holes that we're going down, apparently, we're going to talk about Mel's hole today.
Yeah, so.
Which, don't get crazy, people. This is not like a porn or anything that we watched and now we're going to discuss. This is a bottomless pit somewhere.
It's a snuff film murder mystery.
No, it is not. And it has nothing to do with the Muppets.
Excuse me. You don't want to talk about my hole?
Sorry, Piggy.
Absolutely freaking not.
All right. Maybe another time, Piggy. Maybe another time. All right, Piggy. Enough.
So, all right, Patrick. I'll have you get into some of the intro to this.
All right. So Mel's Hole. A real-life pet cemetery? A gateway to hell? A gateway to Fraggle Rock?
Down in Fraggle Rock.
What exactly is Mel's Hole? Now, before you giggle at those words, sit back, relax, and enjoy another one of our mysteries. Because we're getting into it. We're getting down. We're getting dirty. We're going to grab our shovels. We're going to do some digging.
Dive fucking headfirst into Mel's Hole.
Into a bottomless pit. Owned by Mel. Alright, so somewhere in the Pacific Northwest lies a place where a bottomless pit exists. Yes! And it supposedly, it isn't metaphorical like bottomless mimosas at brunch. No.
Delicious.
And this pit allegedly has supernatural properties. So the mystery of Mel's Hole all started on 1997-ish, I would say, in deep in the dark era of the Muppets.
Oh, man.
It all started with an interview on Art Bell's Coast to Coast AM radio show, which is basically like a censored version of us on like radio wavelengths.
And I gotta say, all I can think because it has the words coast to coast in it is
Space Ghost.
Coast to coast. Sorry.
So a longtime listener, first time caller, dialed into his fave show, identifying himself as Mel Waters, and claimed, yes, he claimed to Art Bell on his radio show in 1997-ish, during the dark era of the Muppets, that he had found a real-life bottomless pit located on his property somewhere near Ellensburg, Washington, which, like, Pacific Northwest. We already said that. So Washington, yep. As we already know, I think we've discussed this before, is already home to some spooky-ass things. Like a sea serpent, we have to find out about this, and Bigfoot.
I don't think we've done Washington on our states yet.
Oh, maybe we'll have to, maybe for our next ep, add it to the list, to the list, Jill.
Add it to the list.
But hold on. A bottomless pit in Washington? What? Well, surprisingly, Mel's existence and his hole have never been officially verified.
Oh, of course not.
But that has not stopped. Oh, no. Oh no, it has not stopped people from searching and or adding their own two cents or claims that they have stumbled upon it. So, all right.
I feel like you'd trip into it, not stumble upon it.
I mean, well, I guess you could be like camping and you're just, I don't know, looking for food. Maybe, or you're looking for like some like leaves to wipe your bum after you pooped. And I don't know, you're just like, you like move some bushes and then you're like, oh shit, that's like a big ass hole. And then you get closer and you're like, oh, that's a big asshole.
I do not see a bottom to that.
Yeah.
You're like, it must be Mel's hole.
Yeah. I once was listening to Art Bell, Coast to Coast, AM radio. And I heard a gentleman by the name of Mel Waters. Great guy. Long time listener, first time caller. He dialed into the show on a winter's night in 1997-ish, during the dark era of the Muppets. I remember it specifically. Muppets in Space had just come out, and that the bad taste, Muppets Tonight, lasted like 8 weeks on TGIF, got cancelled, replaced by Sabrina the Teenage Witch. But hold on. But hold on. When Waters first called into the program, he claimed to have found a hole that, by his calculations, was greater than 80,000 feet deep. Whoa. So according to his story, he had tied fishing line together and continued lowering it to a depth greater than 15 miles without ever hitting Earth, which I don't know. I can't really figure out how would you know at that point, right?
I mean, you'd have to have a lot of fucking fishing line.
Yeah, but like, if it eventually hits the ground, it's still just going to like roll down. Like, how do you?
Well, if you have something weighted on the end of it, which I'm assuming you would have to make sure it's actually going down and not getting stuck on something and just coiling up. You should feel the weighted piece of the ground.
Oh, yeah, I get it. Oh, yeah. Or
like, just like when you're fishing, like, even though it's going through water and that slows the falling of it, when the sinker hits the bottom, you feel it.
Oh, yeah. He maybe had a sinker.
He probably had, like, a little weight on the bottom.
Or maybe he dangled, like an old camcorder with a light. And then, like, he could only do, like, 3 hours at a time because then the battery died.
Right.
All right. So, according to Jill's science here, that happened. Waters then claimed that the hole had the ability to restore life to dead animals. Holy Stephen King. And he related this to the story of a man's dead dog that was thrown into the pit and then found walking around alive soon after.
Okay, people, don't throw your animals into holes, whether you think they're dead or alive. Just random holes, just don't go chucking your animals into them.
Yeah, have you not seen Pet Sematary by Stephen King?
That too, but like, just it seems like a really shitty thing to do.
Your dog will come back and bite you, give you rabies.
I mean, he really should, if you've thrown him into a random hole.
Or maybe it'll be a murderous child.
He did cut her tendons,
all right,
her legs.
I have a quote.
Messy.
I have a quote from Mel himself.
Okay.
All right. I gotta find that Mel voice.
You gotta get a Mel voice going on? All right. You get a Mel voice going right on there, sir.
Hey, I'm Mel. Mel Waters from Ellensburg, Washington. How are you, Jill? How are you? Nice to meet ya.
I like this Mel.
This is kind of like my Nat Basuccio voice from 90210. I work at the Peach Pit, too. But my alter ego is Mel Waters. But anyway, this could be an apocryphal story. I probably said that word wrong, but I saw it on the news one day. But one guy claims he threw his departed canine down into the hole, and the guy that did it swears the dog actually came back to him. He was a hunter, and he was out there hunting, and he saw the same dog. Can you believe that? Can you believe that, Jill?
I cannot.
He had the same collar and everything. He had that same little metal thing on his collar there, and it dangled, and he said it was the same dog, and he says he knew he threw that dog in the hole. He's like, you know what? I remember specifically that dog croaked, choked on a bone. I threw him in the hole just because I didn't want to deal with the burial rites and stuff, and oh my God, he came back. Good dog. Love him. He's best. I'm Mel, I'm out.
I feel like that could be like the dog isn't actually dead. You chucked him into a part of like dirt and
he like clawed his way out.
Yeah, he like clawed his way out because like, okay, he was choking on a bone. All right, so you like threw him somewhere.
He landed on a rock.
The force, like dislodged it. It was like the Heimlich maneuver. And the dog's like, what the fuck, bitch? You just like threw me into a hole while I was choking. So I'm going to climb out and find you so I can bite your ass now.
You know how in like cartoons when someone like falls off a cliff, there's always like a branch?
Yeah.
Like sticking out.
Yeah.
He landed on the branch and forced the bone out. He came back to life. He's like, oh shit, I'm on a branch.
And like climbed his way out.
Yeah. And maybe he was a good climber. Maybe, yeah. Maybe Rocky. Oh, I'm going to just name this dog Rocky. We didn't name
him. Rocky! Hello, I'm Rocky the dog. And I'm going to save myself.
He talks. He's like Scooby-Doo. Or Astro, or other talking dogs. Brian Griffin?
Maybe? Brian Griffin is like the most eloquent speaker of the talking dogs, I feel like.
Yeah.
Even though he's kind of a douchebag, like he actually, you know, pronounces things, whereas Scooby-Doo is just like...
and licks like cotton candy off his face.
Yeah. Because he's getting high with Shaggy.
Yeah, he falls in the cotton candy machine when he's running away from demons.
Yeah.
That are really just like old men in masks.
Yes.
I don't know, like the 60s taught me anything, like 60s cartoons, is that like the world is just full of old men wearing masks chasing teens.
I think the point was that the real monsters are humans.
Yeah,
like they're real people. It's not, you know.
It's not a witch.
Yeah, it's not a witch. It's not a ghost. It's not a goblin.
A werewolf.
Right. It's real people.
Or a Frankenstein.
The real monsters are people. Just like Frankenstein. Like, there's that whole...
The monster?
It's really Frankenstein's monster, but if you think of it in a philosophical vein, Dr. Frankenstein was the real monster because he, like, created this abomination.
He did. But hold on. You want to get back to the dog?
Yeah, let's get back to this sad dog and Mel's hole.
All right, so we're back at the hole. Back at the hole. Whether or not this dog returned with evil intentions is unknown, but if Stephen King taught us anything... It's that the dead. If Stephen King taught us anything, it's that dead things come back, aren't always as precious as they were previously, and also that damn peaky summer. I'm sorry, and also them damn pesky summer colds are the worst. Shout out to The Stand, aka the best piece of literature that exists on planet Earthtopia.
It's so true.
Sorry, I can't. I can't read my own notes.
Yeah, well, you also misspelled things, so that's fair.
All
right. Yeah, seriously, if he did teach us anything, it's sometimes dead is better.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to let the dead be dead, says the old man who, I don't know, like hangs up by clotheslines.
And is also, you know, Herman Munster.
I know.
Sometimes dead
Hello,
is
I'm
better.
Hello, Herman Munster. Lily? Lily?
I just find it so interesting that, like, Herman Munster is the one that's saying sometimes dead is better, considering he is a Frankenstein monster.
Hold on.
Like, maybe he's talking about himself. Do you think he's, like, having an existential crisis and he's like, I should never have been brought back to life?
Do you think this is, like, do you think Pet Sematary is the origin story of the monsters? So he died one day and his family buried him in the pet cemetery. He came back and then, I don't know, he met Lily
and like
grandpa.
Grandpa
and the rest.
Yeah, and fathered a werewolf somehow with a vampire woman. Like,
well, maybe. All right. I have a new theory.
Right. Was the dog involved?
Yeah.
This is wrong.
Maybe it was like a mass grave. So they threw pre Herman guy.
I don't remember his name.
They threw pre-Herman guy and the dog into the grave at the same time. And so he came back, like he had He had like wolf in his DNA.
So this is like the fly situation?
Yeah.
It's like he went through. Yeah, yeah, and he's like half fly and half human.
So,
yummy!
I mean, he had testicles and his testicles were filled with like wolf
Wolf semen?
Yeah, or like canine semen, and I don't know.
This is like the most convoluted and strange thing that could ever be discussed, I swear. I know I say that a lot, but like really, it just keeps getting worse and worse as we go.
Anyway, so as the years toiled on...
Them summer colds are the worst. Better take care of that old timer.
As the years toiled on, Jill, as the years toiled on, the story became more elaborate. Mel's whole captivated listeners, because I guess Mel kept calling in, like, over time. Like, it's like, let's check in with Mel.
This man just wants attention.
No shit, right? So anyway, many of whom were eager to verify the hole's existence, but Mel refused to tell people where the hole was specifically, just that it was near his property on the Manistash Ridge near Ellensburg, Washington. He was then featured on the show a number of times until 2002, when a local paper reported that no man named Mel Waters existed in the area. Ooh, yeah, welcome to the internet, the smoking gun era.
Yep.
The finding just about put the story to rest until it was resurrected by an intertribal medicine man named Red Elk.
Ooh.
So can we trust Red Elk? Is that a real name? Girl, what?
I mean, I wouldn't discount it. I don't want to, like, be racist or anything because, you know, people have different names in different cultures and different types of names.
Like this Red Foreman?
Oh, okay, not where I was going, but okay. We'll go with that. I'm just thinking, like, it sounds like a stereotypical, like, Native American type
John
name.
Redcorn.
Like, something that, like, somebody would make up and be like, oh, this sounds really Native, you know, when that's not necessarily how it works. But it could also be legitimately somebody's name. Like, I don't want to judge. I'm trying not to judge here.
What's, like, is Red short for something?
Well, Red Elk, I feel like, is, like, you know...
It could be an alias.
Like, it could be a chosen alias. I mean, it could be... Like, I mean, let's be real. It could be, like, Red Fox.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Red Fox.
Red Fox. Like, it's just his name. It's how it worked out.
Two X's, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to two X's. All right. So if you have a name with an X in it, make sure it's two, because that'll get you attention. That'll get your name on the marquee.
It's true. Yeah. And you could end up, you know, like, in a TV show.
Stanford and Son?
Yeah. Right. Didn't he die? Wasn't there, like, supposed to be a spinoff and he died?
No. Hold on.
Like, a reading?
No, so, all right. So, Red Fox was on Sanford and Son, and then there was, like, a Sanford and Son, like, sequel series spinoff thing. But then, like, 6 or 7 years later, he got cast on another show, another comedy, and it was, like, doing actually really well in the ratings. Like,
okay.
It was doing, like, hot. And they were doing, like, a table reading.
Yeah.
With, like, for, like, another episode. And he actually, like, started to have a heart attack. So he was, like, clutching his chest. And people thought he was just, like, doing the Sanford and Son joke.
Like, because that's one of the things that he routinely did. And he would, like, clutch his chest and, you know, fake a
Elizabeth,
heart attack.
Elizabeth,
I'm coming, this is it! Out of, like, you know, to, like, emphasize the shock or surprise. That was kind of just his character's thing.
Yeah, and so then he, like, fell on the ground and then, like, people were like, wow, like, he's really committed to this. And then they were like, oh, shit, like, he's collapsed.
Not, yeah.
And, yeah, so...
He died.
Yeah, he died.
Which makes me think there was recently a stand-up comic that was in the middle of a set.
Yeah, like, the United Kingdom.
And he had a heart attack and collapsed on stage, and
people thought it was
the audience were, like, they were laughing because they thought it was part of the act, and then all of a sudden he, like, it was several minutes and he didn't get back up, and they were like, maybe this isn't part of the act, and somebody came out and, like, checked on him and, like,
checked
called 911
yeah.
and just, like, oh my god, shut off your volume.
I know, I'm gonna do that. Okay. Alright, sorry.
So, yeah. So, anyway.
All right. So, right
on the tangent.
So, 2002, Mel Waters disappeared. 6 years later, 2008, Red Elk appeared out of nowhere, claiming he was well acquainted with the hole and that it had many bizarre properties. Red Elk didn't start slow and build up, but instead immediately claimed that the hole set fire to ice, cooked a sheep live, and implanted a seal fetus inside the cooked sheep.
Wait, what?
Yes.
I'm sorry. This just took a weird turn, man. It just took a really weird turn.
Even for those suspended every ounce of their disbelief, the story had become too bizarre and too crazy to entertain.
I mean, I see why.
Yeah,
Fucking seal fetus in a cooked sheep. Like,
and
what the
set
fuck?
Fire to ice.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
So, L claimed to have visited the enigmatic hole with his father as a young boy in the early 60s, 1961 to be exact. According to Red Elk, the hole was well known to the indigenous peoples, as well as local and federal authorities, and was believed to be an unbelievable 24 and 28 miles deep. So, girl, that's like far down into Earth.
Yeah, damn. How have you not hit core?
All right, so Red Elk was also a medicine man. So the medicine man also speculated that the pit served as a tunnel which connected to Mount Rainier, and that it might be associated with both UFOs and vile quasi-reptilian entities that allegedly dwell deep within the bowels of the Earth, known as reptoids.
Okay, so haven't we talked about Mount Rainier on a previous episode? Was that in our the Lost in the National Park?
No, because we were talking about Yosemite type things. Mount Rainier is like a mountain in Washington State.
Okay.
We didn't quite go that far.
I thought we had mentioned it because of whatever.
Maybe something else, or maybe we have a future episode.
Yeah, maybe there is a spoiler. Future episode. Yep.
Sorry. Hashtag Endgame.
On a
hashtag Game of Thrones.
Oh my God. All right.
Hashtag Arya.
Okay. I haven't caught up on Game of Thrones, so quiet now.
Hashtag Lost, which is like a show that's been off the air for like 10 years.
Yeah. So anyway,
hashtag Justice League.
Oh Jesus Christ. Okay. On a separate note,
okay. I'm just trying to ruin you. I'm sorry.
Aside from Mount Rainier, and obviously like UFOs, bread and butter for us, like whatever. The quasi-reptilian entities, I feel like we're dipping into like lizard man territory here, which also makes me think of Doctor Who. Sorry, Cat. But there is that whole like series of episodes with the, in the Matt Smith era with the, humanoids that have evolved from reptiles.
Maybe I have to watch it tonight.
They are so fucking cool. And then one of them becomes a recurring character and she's kind of badass. And she ends up being married to a woman, like a human woman, which is really cool. Like,
plus,
it's just like the show just delves into so many topics that like are viewed as taboo and just like really just like puts it
into perspective.
Well, not necessarily into perspective, but like puts it into a context that people don't have a problem with, I feel like, and it normalizes things that should be normalized, which is awesome.
Plus, as always, Taylor Swift, too, also a reptilian. We learned in like 10 episodes back.
Not to be confused with Avril Lavigne, who is a clone.
Yeah, sorry. So Avril Lavigne is a clone. Taylor Swift is a reptilian.
Is a reptilian, which also, Facebook guy, shit, why am I blanking on his name?
Facebook guy? Mark Zuckerberg?
Yes, also a reptilian.
That is true.
Yeah. Conspiracy corner. All right.
So on the urban legend-y side of things, year before Mel called into Coast to Coast, locals also spoke of an unfathomably deep pit that was said to be about 9 feet in diameter and was shored up with hand-placed bricks to a depth of nearly 15 feet until it gave way to earthen walls. The hole had been known to locals for generations and to Native Americans before them, and it had been used as an unofficial dumping ground for everything from defunct refrigerators to old tires and television tubes to livestock and pet carcasses. Oh, this is also like a thing on The Simpsons, too.
It totally is.
I just want to bring that up. All right, so what disturbed those who utilized this illegal dumping ground most was the fact that no matter how heavy the object being discarded may have been, those that tossed it into the void never heard it hit bottom. This led some of the more supernaturally inclined in the region to dub the place the Devil's Hole. Ooh. And rumors quickly spread that this never-ending crater tunneled in direct trajectory to Hades, making it, in effect, a highway to hell.
Which, I gotta say, I mean, depending on how deep it goes, if it does actually reach the molten core of the planet,
just burn up.
Like things are gonna burn up before they really hit solid surface, because it's
how
not
deep
solid.
Is your love for me?
It's like it's liquid hot magma. So I could see it being, you know, perceived as say a highway to hell,
yeah,
and direct channel to Hades, because the whole perception of that is that it's a fiery place. Well, the middle of the Earth is a fiery place in certain
respects. You don't believe in the hollow earth theory? You're not a hollow earther?
No.
What?
I'm also not a flat earther. Let's just get that out there.
All right. Well, you know what? Someone's right. Someone's right. Anyway.
Neither of those people that you just mentioned.
So within months of appearing on Coast to Coast, Mel Waters and the Devil's Hole, which would soon be redubbed Mel's Hole by Bell's enormous fan base, would gain a significant amount of notoriety. Waters claimed that he was beset by a series of odd events not long after he went public with his information regarding the Hole. The first strange incident that occurred while Waters was on his own property en route to the Devil's Hole, Waters planned to continue his research when he was suddenly stopped by a pair of men identifying themselves as government agents. These agents, one in plain clothes and two in military regalia, informed him that there had been a plane crash nearby, that the area had been cordoned off.
So, cordoned off. Nice pronunciation there.
Cordoned.
Okay.
Like chicken cordon bleu.
No, cordoned. I feel like this is like dipping into like Men in Black territory.
Like, yeah, it's like Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones. There's a new Men in Black cover. Did you see this?
Yes, I did. And I didn't see the actual trailer, but
it's like Zendaya.
I noticed it has Chris Hemsworth in it.
Oh yeah. He's just like
he's everywhere
he's
now.
He's just whored himself to like every franchise.
I mean, he is a Norse god.
Yeah. And he was also in Ghostbusters.
He was, and that was kind of fantastic, I guess.
He was the male secretary. Shout out to the male secretaries. Happy Male Secretaries Week.
Administrative assistant.
Oh, I'm sorry. We can't call them male secretaries anymore. We have to call them administrative assistants.
Fuck
you, America.
Oh, fuck you, everything. So I gotta say, I really did enjoy him in that role. It made me so happy. And did I tell you I totally saw somebody at an event that I was at?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've talked about it, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if we talked about it in the podcast, but we definitely have talked about it in our lives. I feel like it's on an episode we have yet to release, though.
It's entirely possible. I randomly ran into a guy who looks like a Chris Hemsworth wearing glasses with a dad bod. So, like, not as muscular, but, like, think of Chris Hemsworth in Ghostbusters wearing the glasses with no... which didn't have lenses in them, but whatever.
Oh.
But with less muscular body.
Not a hot spoiler, but like a semi-spoiler. Thor is like fat in the new Avengers.
What?
Yeah, he's been drinking bear. He's got a bear
No,
body.
You cannot spoil shit like that for me. Stop it.
It's not like a plot thing.
You're dead to me.
All right, bye. Throw me in the hole. Come back as a fucking evil
bye,
being.
Bye, Felicia.
You can replace me with Miss Piggy.
No.
Or maybe January Jones. She's looking for a project.
I feel like she wouldn't like me.
Nah, probably not. She'd probably cut your throat.
Yeah, she might. All right,
we have to talk about this, the Men in Black.
Okay.
So the plainclothes further stated that no one but military personnel would be allowed into the restricted area. Waters then noticed men wearing yellow hats and suits milling around behind the trio that were blocking his path. Waters, angered at being denied access to his own property, demanded that they let him pass and that's when these so-called agents got down to brass tacks. According to Waters, the agents proceed to inform him that if he did not follow their instructions, he would be falsely accused and arrested for concealing a meth lab on his land. What?
Whoa, that escalated quickly.
Yeah, it is presumable that the evidence of this lab would have been manufactured if necessary. So,
wow.
Whoa. So don't fuck with the Men in Black there.
This is totally getting into like X-Files territory with Mulder going after, like trying to videotape the flying saucer thing that...
Oh, they just like pour like whiskey on him or
yeah,
something.
Like yeah, like that stoner Seth Green saw, like, you know. Or, you know, the big tent with all the like
bees
in it.
So anyways, Waters took it upon himself to research other mystery holes throughout the world. Yes, there's more than one mystery hole. And managed to discover...
I feel like this is something that Quagmire would say as he's pointing to a picture of the back of a girl's knee. That's where the secret hole is, guys. That's where it is.
So, Waters discovered another mystery hole alleged to be on public land in Nevada that was similar in size and a reputation similar to the Devil's Hole, which he had, for a brief period, owned. Waters made the pilgrimage to Nevada... And once there, purportedly continued his research into these anomalous openings.
That sounds dirty.
All right. It seems that Waters was able to make friends with the local Basque people in the area, and they took him to the sacred hole, which he described as also being 9 feet in diameter. But unlike the devil's hole, this round aperture had a solid metallic collar sticking out of the ground around the lip of the gap. Ooh. I think I have a boner.
Oh, I didn't need to know that.
This notched collar was evidently man-made, or at least intelligently designed, and rose about 2 feet above the pit. Is this a portal for UFOs to land or hide in, as activity is allegedly high around these holes?
Ooh.
All right. Any thoughts on the UFOs landed in and out of holes?
I mean, Nevada, isn't that like where Area 51 is?
Close-ish, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's centered around...
Actually, that's in Roswell, New Mexico.
Oh, that's New Mexico. Yeah. That's right. It's a desert. I don't fucking know.
Oh, I am what I am.
Anyway.
I won't go.
I gotta say...
won't sleep. I'm singing the Roswell theme song.
I know. Okay. I'm ignoring it.
I have not seen the new Roswell series. Have you?
Roswell that ends well? No, I haven't seen it either.
No, but I don't know. I'm like intrigued by it.
Hmm.
Color me pink. Is that the color of intriguement? Pink?
Sure.
Is it tickle me pink?
That's tickled pink.
So color me what? Color me bad?
Color me intrigued? I don't know. I don't fucking know. I don't know.
All right.
So anyway.
Fan base, what color are you when you're intrigued? Color me.
Whatever color that
teal?
Is.
Teal?
Sure. Aquamarine?
Yeah.
So.
Champagne gold?
I feel like we're getting into Bond villain territory now. So as far as the whole like UFO thing, I mean, there's so much that talks about like potential for UFO landing sites. There's a lot with ancient aliens. There's that whole thing, which I know is going to be a whole nother episode about like people with O negative or negative blood Rh type. Factor of blood type. Are like descendants of aliens, and you know, then there's that whole fiasco with
Scully looking in the mirror and she sees an alien face.
That too, but I was thinking like the whole fiasco with Indiana Jones and the, you know, crystal skull and shit like that. So it's interesting that we're bringing
UFOs Indiana Jones and the crystal dildo. Brought to you by Dildo Jen, now on sale. Go to dildosbyjenngoulart.com.
Which is not a real website. Sorry, folks.
All right, maybe we'll get it up. We'll get it by the time this episode airs.
We'll get it up by the time this episode airs? Is that really what you just said? Oh my God.
I mean, I did just say I got a boner describing this pit, so... Technically, it's already up.
Call back to a much earlier episode when Patrick decided he would fuck Craig Hill.
Because it was like fuck Craig Hill. It was like Craig Christ, Craig Hill, and like Craig.
Craig from South Park.
Yeah. Oh, God. What episode was that? Was that,
that was the Craig Hill episode. That was one of our state's urban legends. That was the legend of Anna Grana.
If you're gonna fuck a hill.
Make it Craig Hill.
All right, hold on.
Or apparently Mel's hole because it's a bottomless pit.
So.
You think it's moist enough?
So, all right, hold on. What do you think feels better? Craig Hill or Mel's hole?
I have no idea. I don't know what it feels like to have a penis and stick it in something. So I honestly have no idea.
Alright, well, you know what, we're gonna,
I mean, Mel's hole is bottomless.
Yeah, so I guess we have...
Craig Hill, you'd have to, like, make a hole or find a sinkhole opportunistically.
Ooh, yeah, sinkholes. That got me aroused.
This is going so bad.
Where are we in this podcast?
I have no idea.
Alright. Want to hear another theory? Forget the UFOs.
Let's move on from fucking holes. Literally.
Well, we're not, because we're going to go back to Charles Manson and devil holes.
Oh, no!
All right. Some researchers... I can't even talk. Some researchers have also noted that the second Devil's Hole bears a marked resemblance to the Bottomless Pit, said to be located in the Death Valley region, which Charles Manson and his notorious family mentioned numerous times in their debacle of a trial. Which is also common attractions of a future episode, by the way.
I am really having trouble, like, not laughing.
Manson believed that during his upcoming war, the family would be making forays from the Bottomless Pit. Accordingly, Manson had the dune buggies that the family acquired fitted with machine gun mounts. While the men would drive, the girls would operate the guns. Ooh, that sounds sexy. While it was doubtful that Manson was referring to Nevada's death hole. Nevada's devil's hole, when he spoke of the Bottomless Pit. There's a chance that he stumbled across it during one of his acid-fueled death sojourns. So, could it be that the pit drove him over the edge of sanity? Again, it is a dubious hypothesis, but one that's entertaining to ponder nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he was already a little over the edge,
so,
and maybe that was just fuel for the fire.
Do you think Charles Manson died, and then someone threw him in the devil's hole, and then he came back as an evil sentient being?
No, because I know there's...
Or is he born evil?
I mean, in all honesty, let's be real. There has been noted several times that there is a very fine line between hyperintelligence and mental illness. And oftentimes the two are linked. And I know he's a very smart man and was able to get people to follow him, just like several cult leaders. But
like the Joker at college calling up goons and hot chicks.
Like, yeah,
the
like 1966 he just,
Batman.
Yeah, like... There's that whole fine line, and it's very common to see the presence of a very high intelligence along with mental illness. It's almost like they're coupled together. So I don't know if necessarily the Devil's Hole would have had any impact. He was probably already at that like breaking point, and then of course, you know, he was doing plenty of drugs, psychotropic ones to be sure, so I'm sure that didn't help things.
That is true.
Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, he could have just had this information and like used it as fuel for the fire to like really get people to follow
to
along
get like hot chicks like mount machine guns and shoot
right
people,
like
shoot
he was
pigs.
Basically putting himself off as the messiah, like, you know, so you have to really have a high level of commitment from people to have them believe that you are basically like a god.
And you know what? Those desert holes, those deserts are hot. They fuck with your brain.
Right. And he's like giving people psychotropic drugs and then bringing them to this like bottomless pit and like freaking them the fuck out. I mean, that could have been a means to an end for him.
That is true. All right.
He could have just been using it.
Before we go.
Yeah.
Before we go, I have an important question for you.
Oh, boy.
All right. Top three holes. The movie Holes with Shia LaBeouf.
Okay.
The sinkhole in Guatemala. You don't know about the sinkhole in Guatemala? That big-ass fucking sinkhole that's, like, neighborhood-sized?
I'm sure we've talked about it before.
Oh, I've, like, definitely should have that. And, all right, we have to pick the third. Mel's hole or Lindsay Lohan's hole?
I feel like we need to keep it relevant to this, so Mel's hole.
Okay,
right?
All
like,
right. Shout out to Mel's hole.
All right, so.
What about Mulan?
No, Miss Piggy. You can just go
where
fuck off.
Where the fuck
off.
Did she keep coming from? I thought
she's like popping out of some random, like, Mel's hole somewhere.
Can we put an apple in her fucking mouth and fucking.
Roast her on a spit? That's like so dark. Dark days of the Muppets are coming back, people.
All right, yeah.
So what is it with these holes? Like, what's the question? Like,
I think. All right.
What's your preference? Like
these holes.
Like, what's the question?
Why are they there? Why do they exist?
No. I'm talking like you just brought up like three different things that only one of which is what we were talking about. So like, are you talking like? Which would you rather encounter, or is this a good son scenario?
No, these are my top three favorite holes.
Oh, okay. I thought you were, like, asking questions here.
Oh, no. Like, these are mine. Like, I don't know. Like, what are your top three favorite holes?
Let's not go there.
The whole thing that's on Who Framed Roger Rabbit. You got that a little.
I do enjoy that one.
You got a black hole. The black hole. It's a Disney movie and the actual thing in space.
And I gotta say, that freaks me out. Like, I'm fascinated with astronomy and stuff, but it also, like, terrifies me in a certain way. I don't know how to describe it.
So maybe one day you're Sandra Bullock just floating through space.
Oh my god, can I just say, I saw Gravity on a quasi-date. It was not a movie I wanted to see, but the guy wanted to see it, and we saw it in 3D.
No, oh, you're like
peeking. That was about personal hell for me, okay? Personal hell. Like, freaked me the fuck out beyond belief.
You actually was, like, hoping for a black hole to come and, like, suck you out of that date.
Yeah, I was just like, this is terrifying. It's not okay. So, yeah, so, like, all right. And with black holes, I automatically always think of, like, Event Horizon.
Oh, yeah, with, Lawrence Sam Fishburne. Neal. Is it Lawrence Fishburne?
Is he in it? I feel like I haven't seen it in so long. I just know Sam Neill's the main character in it. He plays the main guy. And, like, shit goes sideways.
So oh, yeah. Larry Fishburne's in it. Yeah. Okay. And Jodie Richardson and Kathleen Quinlan and Jason Isaacs. Shout out to those dudes.
Yeah. It's a really fucked up movie. So,
like. Directed by, or produced by Lawrence Gordon. Do you know that name?
No.
Oh, you should.
Why?
You should, because you know what else he also directed?
What?
Or produced? Hold on. Four movies that we know and love. Predator.
Oh.
Die Hard. Die Hard 2. Predator 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Point Break.
I've literally never seen Point Break.
What?
I have seen bits and pieces of it. What? I'm pretty sure I have seen the ending. I have never seen it all the way through.
What?
I know.
G.I. Jane, he did also is behind.
I've never seen that one.
Hellboy, the Hellboy franchise.
Oh,
Mystery Men.
I loved that movie. That was so good.
Xanadu.
Xanadu.
Lara Croft Tomb Raider and Lara Croft Tomb Raider The Cradle of Life.
Oh, those were basically softcore porn.
The Hellboy 2 and like the weird Hellboy that just came out.
Ooh, he did the new one too, huh?
Yeah, and hold on. You sitting down?
You can clearly see that I am.
Alright. Waterworld.
Oh my god, I fucking love Waterworld!
So yes, you know this man, Lawrence Gordon, producer.
Yeah, I do.
Motion picture executive. He specializes in producing action-oriented films and other gems.
Yeah, Waterworld is a gem. It was totally unappreciated, and you guys need to really understand how great that movie is.
Yes, it's great. And hold on. The Rocketeer.
Oh my god!
I just want to, like, keep naming movies just so you can, like...
That's so fantastic.
Get your mind blown. Oh. Jumpin' Jack Flash. 48 Hours.
Oh.
48 Hours. Another 48 Hours, whatever it's called.
The first one, I'm pretty sure that one has the fight scene that South Park recreated between Timmy and Jimmy.
Yeah, I believe so.
It's Eddie Murphy and Nick Nolte.
Yeah? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, like, they did it shot for shot. Even, like, the words. Because, like, I think... Jimmy says, like, not in this lifetime or something at one point. And, of course, Timmy just goes, come here. But, like, it's, like, shot for shot, that fight scene, which is kind of awesome.
It is awesome. All right. We've talked about holes in the ground that go to mysterious places.
Yep.
I think we should talk about things in the sky that release mysterious things. What do you think?
Do you think maybe they're originating from these holes and just being pumped into the sky?
Like it's a farm? Like a farm for this next topic that we want to dwell into next week?
Yeah.
Finally?
Yeah.
Gonna get down to it? All right.
Get down and dirty.
We're gonna leave Mystery Cove. We're going on a quest. We're gonna get a canoe. We're gonna paddle across this pond.
Mm-hmm.
Ward off like the thruple of geese and goslings.
And a swan. With their swazlings? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's going on with those babies.
We're gonna cut up Miss Piggy into little like sandwich slices so we can have nourishment.
Roast her over a spit.
Yeah.
Make some pig jerky. Ooh.
We're gonna find this hole. We're gonna find Mel's infamous hole. We're gonna We're gonna rope down him. We're gonna splunker. We're gonna do some splunking. Splunking is that? I thought it was
spelunking.
Spelunking.
Yeah.
Okay, but spelunker is like the actual thing, right?
The person.
Okay. So we'll be spelunkers.
Yeah.
Then we'll be spelunking.
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds dirty.
It does.
Sounds dirty. We're in Mel's Hole.
Yeah, I know. We're gonna be spelunking in Mel's Hole. That's just fucking dirty.
We're gonna be covered in dirt too.
Mm-hmm.
And pig.
Oh my god.
Remains.
So terrible. And you know we're always gonna be covered in what's coming from the sky.
So we're gonna get to the bottom. We're gonna find a little factory.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's producing clouds.
Maybe we can shut it down.
We have to shut it down.
And stop the mind control from the government.
Yes, because what are they doing? They are releasing a deadly vapor
into our air.
Into the air we breathe, the air we drink. It's like a foggy day. I guess you're drinking the air. Or it's rainy. Maybe you're drinking the rainwater.
Don't drink rainwater, people. Just don't. It's not a good idea.
My dog does.
Well, he shouldn't, but he's also a dog. Like, no, just don't go outside and, like, open your mouth into the rain. Like,
all right, so,
bad idea.
All right, so you're lost on an island, and, like, your only source of water is just making little, like, buckets out of leaves, and you gather rainwater.
All right. This is literally never going to happen, but... Okay.
You don't know. I'm going on a cruise like next week, so I could be like lost forever. I could be lost.
I'm going to get messages.
Tropical depression 14.
I just know it. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Sit
anyway.
Right back in your hair until it's a faithful pet. He went on to a carnival cruise and never was heard back. Never was heard back. A tropical depression came along and drew the ship off course. He ended up on a weird island with Muppets and other things. Muppets and other things.
Oh, dear Lord. I'm never escaping this.
The movie star, January Jones. The professor. Who's a smart professor? Neil Tyson deGrasse and his wife. Is he married?
Neil deGrasse Tyson. But okay, okay. Yeah.
And his wife, if he has one.
I don't know if he does. I feel like Bill Nye. You could have gotten Bill Nye in there.
He was busy working on some Netflix thing, so he didn't make it.
He was busy sciencing.
Yeah, he was busy sciencing. Oh, well, maybe, all right, Hotsuki, maybe it could be your scientist and you could be the wife.
Yes, only we're not married yet and we don't have the money to go on a cruise.
Well, the movie star will loan the money.
Yeah, you get January Jones on the phone and ask her for that money, and I will gladly accompany you on that cruise.
Hey, Siri, call January Jones.
Did you mean Jocelyn?
No.
Jocelyn, I really hope you listen to this episode just to hear that. Oh, my God, that was perfect. That was so perfect. Siri thinks you're January Jones equivalent, and that's awesome.
All right. Beware the chemtrails. They're above us. Causing me to do weird things
Very roundabout way of saying next week's topic is chemtrails, motherfuckers.
And as always, Jill Buck, the Chandler.
Yes.
As always. Deuces.
Deuces. See?
Watch the skies.
Had to get you to say it first, didn't
for,
I?
What should we watch the skies for this week?
Chemtrails.
Yeah, I guess so. Ding, 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 ding.